Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to the Gift of Gaming podcast. And on this week's episode, you better grab your flippers, your wetsuit, your scuba diving gear, because we're looking into Dave the Diver.
MacGyver.
All right, it's me, your host, Darren Wade, and today on the podcast, I am joined by Craig, the Critical Nolan. Craig, how are you?
I'm okay.
That's good. That's better than
okay. Sorry,
it's better than bad. Good, yeah, it's better than bad. And of course, Colm Nolan.
Hey, how are you doing?
It's good, Colm. It's been a hot minute since you've been on this. How are you?
I'm good. Still been playing games and stuff. Just been busy with life stuff, work, all that kind of stuff. But getting to jump in every so often feels a little bit better.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, Dave the Diver would be nice as well. Like in terms of. That's been fun. You've been playing Dave the Diver, obviously. You wouldn't be on this episode if you hadn't been playing some Dave the Diver.
No, of course not. Mm. I definitely played some of Dave the Diver. I didn't get to finish Dave the Diver, so there's a little
bit of
pre-warning.
Info.
Pre-warning, yeah.
I guess, Craig, have you been playing anything other than Dave the Diver recently? I mean, probably nothing but Metaphor, right?
Metaphor, Fantasio has been occupying my time. I'm about 80 hours in now, so I'm like...
You're there?
I'm about 80%. Still a ways. Maybe another 20 hours, but I'm enjoying it.
Jesus, that's a fairly decent-sized game.
I mean, Persona 5 was bigger again. They're definitely pushing the hundreds in this type of thing, It's a simple formula, but you get a lot of repeat value out of it, There's a lot of grinding in this game in particular, but, when there's, nice abilities at the end of it, it's just something I don't mind,
Nice, nice. I myself started Control. Myself, Luke, and Chris on our last news episode just decided that Control would be the next Games Club one that we'd do. And
this one, of course.
This one, I was like, when I realized all of us were playing it, I was like, because I've loved it so much, I was like, I have to do a Dave the Diver episode.
And Daniel said he had played it on one of the other podcasts as well, didn't he?
He recommended it. I can't remember which one. It's been a while since Daniel was on, so I can't remember which one it was that he was in, but he had recommended it.
And also, to be fair, I know I think it was the Legend of Zelda podcast, maybe Tears of the Kingdom, but in fairness to Daniel, he may have got there first, but the one that got me to play it was Aidan Brennan.
You wouldn't have played it if Aidan had said it, and the only reason you played it is because I kept going on and on about it.
Just listen to how narcissistic there. Craig just jumps in there, absolutely. I'm the only one who played this game, therefore you copied me.
No,
Aidan was the one that gave the shout out. Now, I probably wouldn't have played it, but much like Stardew Valley, Dave the Diver doesn't sound great as do you want to watch this?
But or
do you want to
play this? Over the next 2 weeks, Craig is talking about it every single day.
Oh my God, Craig, take a break, for heaven's sake. Aiden hooked me onto the game as well. He came over and waxed lyrical about it for 20 minutes that evening. We're all playing some Smash, and I was like... And the reason I kind of said, maybe I'll take him on his word, because he recommended Dredge to me as well, him and Kevin. And Dredge was fantastic.
I still haven't played Dredge either, and that's still one game that I'm like, I don't know if I want to get into it yet. In fairness, Dave the Diver, I said the exact same thing, and I was like, this is quite fun. Do I want to do it again?
I don't think the Dredge loop is as enjoyable as a Dave the Diver loop, and I think Dredge can be a bit scary sometimes.
I don't want that. So the scary factor is what keeps it out for me.
No, I guess I can hold my question until we kind of talk about some of the things about the game rather than kind of dive into it.
No question away, sir. There's no format here. Our listeners are well aware.
Do you know the games kind of Hades and all them? They're Metroidvania style games, are they? Is that what you call them? Or
Roguelike.
I thought at first Dave the Diver was a roguelike, because every time you dive in, you kind of sometimes you're in a different area or whatever. And then very quickly, I kind of pieced it together that you're just in the exact same map most of the time.
It changes, and that's one of the thing. I mean, we'll get into the nitty gritty of this shortly, but that's one thing I noticed as well. They kept talking about how the map changed, but I could never put my finger on quite when the map changed. Sometimes I went down and I was like, oh, it's different again for some reason, but just slightly different.
It was always pretty much exactly the same, bar maybe one or two slightly variants. For me, it was just it's pretty much the same map every time, and it would change every time you dive. Because you can dive twice in a day, so every day it'd be slightly different, but very, very slightly.
Very slightly. Yeah. And it was because I only, just so we're aware, so Craig's finished Dave the Diver. I finished Dave the Diver today because I'm so studious about this podcast. I was like, I can't appear on it without finishing it. Mm-hmm. But when I played it today, it was one of the things I noticed that I was doing some side quests before I finished it, and I needed to go into the underwater cavern. And I was like, well, I remember where that is. And this time in particular, is it the limestone?
The limestone cave. Yeah,
had moved over to the right-hand side of the map, and I had to go through the limestone cave to get to the underwater lake. And I was like, this is really strange. I don't remember ever having to do this before.
One time I went and did a dive, and the limestone cave was just, it wasn't there at all, you know? Unless I just somehow missed it, but yeah. I was looking for it for ages, and I just couldn't. Because it's supposed to be between 50 meters and 150, mm-hmm. and it just wasn't there.
So unusual. So. But I suppose now we'll get into the nitty gritty of Dave the Diver. And I just want to see, let me just bring up my my Google here to help me in all things Dave the Diver. But can you, do you have any idea how long you had it played for, Craig?
Jeez, maybe like 40 to 50 hours. I remember being at 30 hours and being like, man, I can't believe like it's I'm still long. Going with this. I could be way up. Maybe 30 hours. I was actually at the end. I can't remember. But I do remember just thinking, wow, for a game that was free on PlayStation, you know, which is, I assume at launch it was 20 euro or something like that, like a 20 euro type game. Mm-hmm. So I'm going to review it and judge it based on that price, not for
the fact
free.
That we got it free.
Anything for free is just, you know, 10
bonus.
Out of 10.
Yeah, yeah. So Dave the Diver is platforms Nintendo Switch, PlayStation, computers, Mac and Windows. And I'm assuming Xbox. Yeah, if it's on Windows, it's on Xbox, right?
Of course.
Publishers were Mint Rocket, Nexon, and Arc System Works, and developers were Mint Rocket and Nexon. It originally released October 27, 2022, but that was on PC. We only got it this year on consoles, I think, in 2024, later on this year.
I'd never have known. It could have came out 10 years ago, and I wouldn't have batted an eye. It's one of those games that I feel like we got recommended to us, and that's the reason, you know, we're playing it, but like, it looks like the type of game that could easily have come out last year or 10 years ago, and like it would have been the exact same.
I could have played the same for sure, yeah. And I think just for those who haven't played Dave the Diver yet and would be keen on it, it is essentially you are called to dive for your old friend Cobra, who is, I'm assuming, like some sort of ex-mercenary, ex-military kind of guy or something like that. He wants you to go diving in the Blue Lagoon, whatever it is. The Blue Hole Lagoon or whatever, the place you spend the entire game. And along with him, he wants you to help Bansho, the sushi chef, open mm-hmm. a sushi restaurant. And that's essentially it. You dive in the daytime to catch fish, and in the nighttime you run a sushi restaurant. And when Aiden first explained this to me, I was like, I mean, that intrigued me because I'm kind of into the cooking Sims kind of thing. And mm-hmm. I was like, oh, okay.
The duality of the roles is the kind of cool one, yeah. Like if it was just like, oh, you just go fish and you'd be like, eh, whatever. But you're like, oh, but I use my fish in a restaurant. That's a little spicy.
I'm gonna go catch a couple of snappers from my certain sushi dish that I want to enhance. And
a few calaminis, is it?
A few calaminis,
Jesus.
So that's essentially the game. And it starts off whereby everything's pretty basic. You just jump into this lagoon that kind of changes. Changes every day. It's kind of the mystery of this place to catch certain fish. And where do we start, fellas? The gameplay, I guess.
Yeah.
So before, actually, you know, we'll get some sort of format in here. A brief overview, top of your head, your thoughts on the game before we get into nitty gritty. Colm, I'll start with you. Just an overall, I mean, are you enjoying, I know you haven't finished it, but are you enjoying Dave the Diver?
I did very much enjoy the game, yeah. I thought it was very good. I have been experiencing burnout or boredom-ishy kind of with it. Mm-hmm. Like, it got to a point where at the beginning of the game, I wasn't skipping any days. I was just diving and diving and diving. And maybe toward the end of the game, the loop started to get a little too repetitive.
Yeah.
And now, the game is good. Like, it throws things at you that, like, you were saying earlier that, like, right up until the end of the game, it's trying to, like, throw you kind of a few new things to play with and all. Which is good because I don't feel like you unlock things too slowly. Like, I think you actually unlock things pretty quickly and just speed through.
And it constantly giving you things.
But I was kind of shocked. A lot of times I kind of thought, it was like, oh, the game must be kind of coming to an end now because I've already unlocked this, that, and that. And like, what else could there really be? The game just keeps going. Like, I'm like, fuck, I don't have enough time to just get this finished, to get it done by the time frame of today.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. But would you recommend?
I would recommend it. Like, I recommend a tutorial and stuff like that. I thought it was cute. I think there's a few very charming details about the game that I think, like, a non heavy gamer or whatever could really enjoy this game.
Yeah.
Like little simple things like I very much enjoy going to the restaurant during the daytime and feeding the cats.
Yeah.
And then getting to see the cat go off on a little side adventure and then bringing home a baby kitten and then getting to feed the baby kitten. And I haven't seen the payoff with the baby kitten, but that's the one thing I'd be very interested to see if there is one. Like, yeah, when you get him to love you.
Yeah. All that kind of like the little, like the side small stuff that you're kind of doing, that like they've put a little touch into everything that I kind of really appreciated, which is, so you said charming. Like, I thought it's one of the most charming games I've played. Craig.
I'm actually shocked. I had no idea there was anything going on with the cat, because I kept picking up cat food, but every time I think I gave the cat food once and it just, like, a heart appeared above him. Mm-hmm. And then I just never interacted with the cat ever again from that moment on. Because, another way, like, every single character in your restaurant says the same dialogue all the time.
Yes.
Regardless of what part of the game you're on.
Yeah.
So that annoyed me so much that I was like, well, I'll never talk to any of them again because their dialogue never changes. And
yeah.
I did not realize the cats, of all people, would change, you know?
You get a fun, it's like a little stealth mission with the cat. Like, the cat sneaks off and you got to go follow it. And you got to, like, crawl over logs and hide behind logs, but stay close enough to the cat, and it ends up leading you to some kittens and things.
I was really That's bad cool. at that, and I was really far away from the cat. You just can't lose that. He just is just waits for you slightly ahead.
Oh, does he?
yeah. Because I was just like, I think at first I was like, I don't get over this box, and then that took a while. And then the way Dave rolls over boxes is hilarious.
It's so good. The animation, like, and I think that as well, because this is a game is completely pixel art as well. And right. I think just how well it's done and how charming the movement and everything is just so, so good. But aside from missing out on the cat quest, Craig.
But yeah, overall, like, the gameplay loop, particularly at the very beginning of the game, you dive down, you spend a few minutes in the water, and you come back with your haul, and you're real like, oh, I got a few good fish here, like, I wonder what I can cook up. But I just feel like as the game went on and it got deeper and deeper, like, my dives would take like 30 minutes, like, you know, I'd be like on one dive and then you have to do it again, and
yeah,
I'd be like, man, like, I just want to get back to the restaurant. Whereas at the start of the game, I felt like it was maybe 70-30 with the whole diving and restaurant.
Yeah.
But by the end of the game, it's like you're spending an hour diving for 5 minutes at the restaurant, you know.
Yeah.
And I just really enjoyed the restaurant portion of the game, and I was always like, man, I really want to just get back there. But I never skipped a day. I was always worried about the whole calendar year thing. So I was just worried that I'd miss an objective or something like that. So eventually it started to weigh me down. I got a bit of the burnout, as Colm said. But like for the first like 20 hours, it was an absolute treat to dive down.
Yeah.
And do all the little side missions with the dolphins and all the different things you could do. And the music was real nice. It was just real chill. I have like awesome lights in my room, and especially on the TV that I have, it just like made my living room look like an aquarium.
Oh, you know? Amazing. Just, yeah
I was like total zen.
Oh, with your backlight thing on the TV. Yeah, that'd
so it was
nice.
Just nothing but blue, like, you know.
Yeah I think I'd echo both of you. I think I love the gameplay loop. I think the restaurant bit was class, but I just wanted more. I just wanted more from that little bit of that sim. I was like, oh, let me customize a little bit more, let me do something extra here. But I have to say, like, I think I mentioned to the guys before, like, big games that I've played this year are like Final Fantasy VII Rebirth, Space Marines, Astrobot, all kind of like up there on like big games that I've played this year. And I think this one is probably like the last game, apart from Control, but in terms of games that came out this year, this would be the last one that I think they'll get my teeth into. And what a nice little way to finish it. I think it is probably the most charming game I've played. I don't think it's a perfect game, but in terms of charm, I was like, this game is just, there were so many bits, and we'll get into it, but there was like there's a collaboration the game does with a musician, MXM Tune. I'm probably saying that wrong. I've never heard of her before, Dave the Diver, but they do a collaboration with her where she appears in the restaurant one evening. And if you make her the dish she's looking for, she's like, hey, I'll play you guys a private gig, like you and your crew, you know? And
oh, yeah.
She goes, you go out to the farm then, and she plays a private gig, but they're legitimate songs. She plays like one or two songs. You can listen to one and then it says, oh, do you want to listen to another? And I was like, hell yeah, I do, because
I listen to them all as well.
Oh man, because they're at a campfire. It's all a cutscene. It's all in that beautiful pixel art. And like Dave and the farmer fella are hugging each other, swaying from side to side. They're all cheersing with beers, having a great time. And it's like, oh, do you want another song? And I was like, yes, I do. And her music is so, it matches the like the vibes of it so much that I sat there watching those two bits being like, I'm really enjoying this game. Like in a very different way to something like Rebirth. Chris put it perfectly. He was like, I'm very much the person who likes those big story driven, big cutscene kind of game. And this thing, I was like, this is such a nice thing just to sit back and relax and you know, not like, like, you know, like the likes of Final Fantasy, sitting on the edge of my seat getting stressed out of Genova fights. I was like, no, never once was I ever stressed playing this game. This was just a pure relax and enjoy kind of game.
I legit bought sushi while I was playing, just because, like, and you know, anytime you like infuse one of the dishes to make it stronger and you see the cutscene, Boncho like just making it better and start chopping, I was like, man, I know the Chinese beside me do a bit of sushi, maybe I'll give it a go. And I'm like timing it for like eating a bit while he's chopping. I'm like, this is great, like,
a total immersion,
my full immersive.
Speaking of that, I suppose one of the things that probably good to get onto, or one of the things that I would like to touch upon, is why I find it so charming was the characters themselves. Like, we've got Bancho, who's the sushi chef. Mm-hmm. Cobra, who's the kind of like the team lead who kind of brought everybody together in this endeavor.
The money man, maybe.
The money man, yeah.
All the dirty dealing on the side, you know.
Yeah. You've got the farmer, whose name I can't remember. I should know him. And his
farmer's son, who's like a rapper.
Yeah. The hot pepper tuna. Hot pepper tuna guy. But between all of them, and then you've got Duff, the guy who does your weapons and upgrades and stuff
He's brilliant, that guy.
I laughed so hard when he first came onto the scene. So Duff is your weapons guy. He's like your man in the chair type of character. And with every kind of character, every kind of moment in this game, you get like real nice cutscenes, like really really kind of well put together, pixelated cutscenes that I was quite impressed by. But one of the ones that made me laugh the most, that like they talk about, like, oh, Duff, he's our weapons guy, he's our specialist. And I was like, oh, I wonder what this Duff guy looks like, you know? And the first cutscene is like this kind of biggish dude, you know, not well kept. Glasses, total nerd. He's got like the anime girl statues, like, you know, figurines and stuff like that at his desk. And he's got like, he's wearing gloves to work on his mouse and computer, like a total like
hacker man,
like really like, oh, hacker man. But the cutscenes for him, like upgrading your weapons, are a treat. Like, you know, it's like him by the computer, and like he takes the time to look at his little anime figurines from time to time while he's like doing up your weapons. And I kind of thought, this game's got such a great sense of humor.
What was mad as well is it's not just one cutscene, he has about like four or five different cutscenes like that he does anytime you upgrade a weapon. Yeah. Like, I was shocked that there were so many.
You also play as him at one stage in a dream.
Did you
do that?
Yeah.
The dance type thing.
Yeah.
You're like a air traffic controller / Beat Saber kind of guitar guy.
Like a gig glow sticks or whatever for his anime
group.
It's an odd
thing to put into the game. And then they just go like, you have unlocked this. No, you'll never do it again.
I did it a couple of times. But go on, Colin. I mean, you enjoyed the little...
I actually don't like Duff. I thought as characters went, I was just so impressed with Banco right from the get go. I was just like, Banco is the chef.
Bancho?
Right? Bancho, yeah. Yep. His stuff for the whole game, for me, I was just like, this is amazing. When I saw Duff, I think Craig had even said, like, oh, wait till you see Duff. And I laughed the first time I saw, but then every time his things were happening, like, usually it was like the same thing happened. So I was just skipping them. And I was like, he doesn't do it for me. And I think it's not so much him, it's more the like, it is a funny, quirky thing, but I don't like the figurine-y kind of thing.
He's kind
of
gross, like.
Yeah. Like, that stuff, I'm just like, I have no time for it. It's like in an anime where somebody's nose just starts bleeding because they're a pervert. It's just like, that guy needs a nosebleed and he's set. Like,
Yeah, that's the only thing that was missing. I just like the humor that they brought into it. But yeah, I think Bancho up there was probably one of the better characters. But I like that they all had such, like, interesting backstories. You know what I mean? The game had some sort of depth to it with the characters, which I appreciated, you know?
I do think, though, at first I thought the celebrity chef girl was an absolute bitch, but he served her like a shark's head, you know?
Yeah.
And it did not look good at all. Like, and for me, she was rightfully like pissed off with it. Like,
yeah.
Like, he was like, no, I can do it. Like, watch this. It's going to be the most tastiest thing you've ever eaten. And he just puts up a shark's head. And it, like, if you look at all the stuff beside it, it's a very messy looking plate as well.
Yeah.
It's just all this like crap just beside it. Like, he hasn't done a great job of presentation. And I was like, if this is the reason you got fired, then that's what you get. Yeah.
Or got the bad review. Yeah.
Or but that one bad review that sent him over the edge.
She comes back later in the game, though, and she says, I lost my critic's license, and she says that she lost it because she was too close-minded to try his food. So that's why she lost her. She was like kind of a critic who's not willing to try things.
Was she not an actress?
No, she's the one that got him fired, I think,
She was an actress, but I think her father owned a chain of restaurants, so she was like, although she was a kind of a food critic essentially, but she was an actress. But like,
she wasn't critiquing his food, she was just staying and they were serving her.
She was staying and she wouldn't eat what he served, which ruined the hotel's reputation because Pancho was like, I'm not gonna. But yeah, she came back and she was like, you know, I was wrong in my ways and I should have tried more things. And she tries the food. And I sort of mean, like, all these stories come back around full circle and they're great, like, you know. Yeah. One of the interesting things that I heard one of the developers talking about with the game was that they love the characters that they created so much that they're looking into creating, like, you have Dave the Diver, but you'll have like Pancho the sushi chef, you'll have Cobra, Mission Cobra, or whatever the game might be called. They're looking into like making games with each of the individual characters to try and like get the, all their backgrounds together to kind of, you know, have this one big full story, which I think would be kind of pretty cool. I mean, it's pretty, what's the word I'm looking for here? Adventurous of them. But I did really enjoy that. But yeah, the, and Dave as well. I love Dave, like the main character. Big, big fan of Dave. Mm. Heart of Gold.
I didn't think he was well animated. Like, he, other than his like thumbs up animation, that's pretty much all he ever does.
Oh no,
like,
but he had the
celebrating
the,
anything.
He had the thumbs up animation. He had the as you said,
rolling over boxes,
or climbing up things. He was just like so
fat,
uncoordinated. Like, do you know what I mean? Like, he really struggled with like getting about the place, or whatever. But I thought he was just like such a fun character to play as.
And at no point does the game ever fat shame Dave by like, you can upgrade his stamina and lose weight or something like that. He's always just slowing. Like,
yeah, yeah.
In the restaurant, when you're trying to run left or right, you run out of stamina like immediately.
And
after,
he's always
like,
out of breath and everything.
That's
like that,
my biggest critique of the whole game, though, is that, you know, when you're like trying to make the foods to serve people.
Yeah.
And like your staff are running around like 100 miles an hour. Like, they can do about, they can serve 10 drinks in the time it would take you to serve one. Like, because they're just zooming up and down. Yeah. Especially when you get their points high. It reached a stage where someone will ask for a cocktail and it's like, oh, great, I love making this drink, because there's a kind of game to it. Like, you have to go left, right, and center to fill up completely. But by the time I would make the perfect cocktail, the night would end almost instantly. Like, if I made
so
a cocktail, the whole, like, after party session was over, like, just from that. And I was like, man, I wish time slowed down while you're making the drinks, because I enjoyed that.
Yeah, yeah. I think one of the things that I liked about his character, the fact that he couldn't get around quickly around the kitchen, was that by the end of the game, I had my a lot of my staff in the restaurant trained up to, like, they can make cocktails, they can make beers, they can clean up, they can fill the wasabi, they can do all the things that, like, so I was pretty much obsolete, and it became very evident that I was obsolete, but I got a couple of chuckles out of it, because I would see, it was like, oh, there's a cocktail thing, I like serve, or the green tea, I like serving the green tea, and I'd sprint over, and you'd see, like, Dave would be, like, out of breath, and my staff would just be zipping right by me. And I'd be like, it's kind of funny in its own way to be like, he's just not, because he even says, like, I'm not, I've never worked in the kitchen before, I don't know what any of this is, I just dive for the food. So he's just kind of there as the help almost. Mm-hmm. But I loved how I could not get around the kitchen quick enough to do. By the time I had my restaurant souped up, like, I was doing nothing. I would run as fast as I could to get to something, but the staff was just so good that Dave was just always out of breath. But I quite like that about the character. I can imagine, like, if they made it into a little bit of an animated TV show, he'd be the guy, like, completely out of breath, walk around the kitchen the whole time, whatever. Moving on from, I suppose, the diving, because we've talked a little bit about the restaurant, but the diving thing. How far into the diving did you get, Colm?
So I'm in the Sea People's Glacier domain kind of spot. I've just done some quests, and the game, I've done loads of quests in there, and I've come out and I've unblocked ice cubes and ice walls and all that kind of stuff. But it just, every time I do it, it tells me to then go off and talk to somebody, and
which
I just,
usually always is like, come back tomorrow.
Yeah, and so, ugh,
I think that's one of the weakest parts of the game. Is, as much as I loved or like the lore idea, I think the sea people, anything to do with the sea people, can sometimes be a bit of a drag in terms
the
of
sea,
like,
people
the side quests.
Is way too long and like dull, you know, like it's such a long little town that, like, and you can't really go anywhere, like, and even using the, which I pay the money to like
get on
the back of that town, and even with that, like, it turns around so slowly, I'm like, oh my god, like, such a slog, like, I wish, and you're teleporting up to the top of the town and then back down, and like, my god, it could take like 2 minutes just to get to one location, and it's needlessly huge, like,
yeah, know? Yeah, really spaced out. So yeah, you're just doing quests for them at the minute.
And that reminded me, actually, the whale, the beluga that you would taxi around on in the village, has gone missing, and when I'm in the glacier, I just remembered as well, I can't go too deep because I think it says it's getting warmer.
Yeah, you're pretty much, so like I kind of did that section last night and today to finish the game. You kind of like, you save the beluga and the beluga helps you kind of open up the last of the doors to reduce the heat. And then you go down and that's the kind of the control room in the end of the game, essentially.
The final boss you're, is there.
Yeah, yeah, I'd say you were probably like, if you hunkered down to it, you're probably 2 hours from the end. But I think at that point, I was getting excited. Anytime I went a little bit deeper, I was excited to get to the new fish or whatever else, or the sharks, whatever you might find. And I think by the time I got down to the thermal area, I was like, I know these things are like dinosaur and archaic and cool looking, but I just want a credit roll at this stage. And not that the game was like boring at that point, but I was like, no, I don't want to come down here for the next like 2 days trying to catch all the things out here, you know. And thankfully, it's not a thing where you get that stage of the game and it's not like, oh, before you can go down to the control room, we need you to catch, you know, two of these and five of them. It's like, no, just if you want to catch these, you can. They're cool looking monsters. And it just lets you go on with the end of the game. And I appreciate that because I think the burnout from just the diving section is real at that stage of the game. But it's nice, the teleportation stuff the game offers you, because when you meet the sea people, when you're doing your quest, they kind of provide you with a magic mirror, essentially, which they put on your boat, and that allows you to travel either to the sea people place or down to the glaciers automatically, so you don't have to, like... I mean, could you imagine if to get down to the glacier every day, you had to start from the very top and work your way all the way down? It would be a nightmare. Yeah, absolute nightmare.
To have a game in
No, we couldn't do it at all.
It's too far. Like, especially that area where you have to wait for the seaweed to go up. Do you know when you have to get that purple light?
Yes.
Like, that's so slow.
The sea worms, That's exactly what I was going to say as well. It's just like, what kind of charms in the game? You're allowed to wear two charms that give you like a little ability kind
bonuses.
Of thing. Bonuses, yeah. What are your two? What do you rock? I used two of them consistently right up until the end.
I think there was the two I had at the end of the game, just because I knew I was coming to like a boss fight, was the I think reduced damage by 10% or reduced damage by 15%, and then my base weapon was 10% stronger or something like
that. Are you thinking of the dumplings?
No, they're little charm braces that you get from doing the side quest. But the one that I had equipped for ages,
the one that gives you a little extra dash, right?
There was another one that gives you an extra dash.
That is essential. Like,
it just consumes so much of your... Oh yeah, so I mean, for those who don't play Dave the Diver, so essentially there's no health bar in the game. There's an oxygen level, essentially.
Didn't like that.
You didn't like that?
No, what just because I was like, I'm nearly out of air, and then just a bad guy hits you and you die, and I'm like, that's not fair. That's not fair at all. Like, why? Like, my health shouldn't be tied to this. I'm not like dying.
But you need oxygen to live, Craig. You know, getting bad around the place is going to cause you to consume more oxygen.
I know, but the amount of times I had like a whole bag full of like 150 kg worth of deadly fish, and just some, I was just like, oh no, I'll just get this extra fish here, and then it just bumped me, and I'm pretty sure it didn't even hit me, but the mechanics of like the hitboxes or whatever are kind of shitty, and your knife is useless. Like, it's the worst weapon in the world. It only hits like right in front of you, and all the fish always attack you at an angle, especially those little small red ones, those little bastards. But I got killed by them so many times on the way up and just lost everything. You know, you can only keep one thing. The amount of times I lost so much.
It's the cruelest. But it's a mechanic of the game that I enjoyed, whereby your health is tied to your oxygen level, which slowly depletes while you're underwater. You can sprint using kind of L2, which kind of increases oxygen consumption. But as you said, you can get an item that will allow you to dash. But it does say on that one, which is why I took it off after a while, because using that really depleted your oxygen. And I noticed after a little while.
The L3 doesn't do anything to your oxygen.
L3 doesn't touch oxygen at all.
Oh,
L2 does.
The L2 does one. Big time. Okay,
That being said, I would hold
L2 the whole time.
It was just way too slow otherwise.
Yeah.
Like, and that, because one of the weapons, Calm saying, which one did you use? I used the L1 thing, which lets you travel faster. You know, you could hold on to it.
Oh, sorry, when you got the little scuba.
So your L1 perks, you could always have one equipped, two equipped, I think.
Yeah.
But the one was like an extra, like, battery powered thing, like that just
like
pulls you along
thing.
Faster.
Yeah.
But it only lasted about 10 seconds. Yeah. I was like, why didn't this one last 60 or 2 minutes, you know? I'm just like, or it would just have, maybe it doesn't run out, or it recharges. Or
yeah, like,
you know?
Something that you could have upgraded on the side to have that thing as an item.
Because there are times when the diving does feel like, especially if you're like, oh, I want to see what's over on the left. but it'll take me like 2 minutes to get over there.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you've done it so many times that you don't really want to like trek over, but you're like, ah, there could be a good fish, you know?
And I think that's, you kind of have to be in the mood, I think, for a game like that, where it's like, I was just into like, I'm just going to sit down, I'm going to chill out, I'm going to swim around the place. But there were times when I was doing that, and that like that, the sea people quests would come up, and it'd be, oh, deliver this, or go out and find that, but come back to us. And then, oh, well, you found this. We'll go out there and grab this and then come back to us. And I was like, I ain't doing this. I ain't doing this anymore tonight. I'm done. I'm going to like skip away for 2 nights and just like do my sushi restaurant. And I'll come back to this when I want to, because that part of the game, because the movement can be so slow at times, the back and forth fetch quest bits with the sea people, I was like, oof, that is rough.
Well, generally speaking, I would always start the game and just dive down. And I would just do whatever quests I happened to stumble upon. But I would never look at my quest log and go, oh, okay, I'll go and get that. Never once did I do that. I always just was diving, looking for fish. And then if something had a blue icon, and I love that they, like, if there was a quest item or quest something, a fish that you needed to get, it would always be marked with a little blue square.
Yeah.
That was a really good
mechanic
to have in the game. Otherwise I would have missed absolutely everything, but like, because it was there constantly, I was like, oh brilliant, I'm after doing this quest. I had no idea, like, I'm just diving and trying to get as far as I can going down. So that was always my routine, and it always helped me like get those extras.
Yeah, and I think it's a credit to the game that you could just go down with nothing planned and come across objectives. Like, there was enough going on in the game to come across objectives. But look, speaking of kind of sea people and stuff like that, one of the next little things I have on the list here is kind of mini games and side quests. I know that, like, the one thing I did appreciate about the sea people's place was their casino, essentially. Like, they had one shop which had like the cards for gambling and the memory games. And we'll come to it in a little bit with all the collaborations, but they even had a collaboration with Balaltro, which is that kind of card game that seems to be doing collaborations with loads of other video games. But when that came in, you had to go around the whole Sea People Village and play this Balaltro card game with them.
Just poker,
essentially, just poker. And it's like, again, it fits the vibe of Dave the Diver so well, because there's no real, you don't really, I mean, you could maybe lose, but I don't think I lost a single game
just,
that I played.
Once you play the Joker cards, you just couldn't possibly lose.
But it was one of those things where it's, I think for those, I've never played Balaltro, but I'd almost want to like check it out because of...
Is that a real game?
Yeah, so Balaltro is a game, and they do, so they did a crossover with Dave the Diver. So Dave the Diver got that the sea people could play Balaltro the game, and in Balaltro the real game there's a set of Dave the Diver cards with, I think, some sort of different abilities and stuff like that. But they did collaborations with loads of people. I'm trying to think who else they got into it recently, because I watched a video on it. But they've got loads of like kind of more so indie games. They get lots of the indie games in, but that was quite good. Did you guys race seahorses?
I did the one time with the one they gave you at the start, and he lost every race by miles. And I was like, what the hell am I doing wrong? And it's just, no, the one they give you at the start can't win.
Yeah.
And then I found loads of really good ones later on, but I was like, oh, now I can win. Well, I'm just never going to do that.
Oh, you never went back?
I never once went back.
I did the exact same thing, yeah. I had like level 8 seahorses. I was like, oh, they're going to be really good, and just never went back.
I had a weedy sea dragon, and I wiped the floor on every race up until... thank you. Yeah,
it was the rewards, though, were just those blue things. So it was like, the bays. So many of that shit, you know?
I think Dave the Diver appeals to me in a way that, in an extra way, Craig, that I don't think it appeals to you, in that I look at the trophies, I'm like, look what I can get there, and look at upgrading everything to the max. And in order to upgrade all the stuff in the Sea People Village, you know, like the seaweed farm and all those other bits, I need some bay, I guess it's called bay, the currency, and to buy all the stuff from the blacksmith, I was like, I need bay. So I was going into that, I was going to the casino quite a lot, and just like playing cards, racing seahorses. Like, in my head, it feels like it's quite like a dingy, you know, like the sea people's versions of cockfights, you know, like, I was like, but I quite enjoyed the casino, because the guy even in charge of the casino was a real seedy looking person as well. Yeah, like, you know, it was a real gross looking person. Speaking of other mini games or other games that kind of came across, did you guys enjoy the Metal Gear Solid little reference?
The stealth mission?
Yeah.
At nighttime, like breaking into like the environmentalist place. That was fun. It was just fun because it was different. But like, if I'd had to do it that again and another mission, I'd have been very much over it. Like,
you know? Did you get a game over when you did that?
I didn't know.
Wait, does it not just kind of they alert to you and then you just respawn from like a checkpoint?
Yeah, you respawn from the very start because it's quite small. It's not a big stealth thing. So you respawn back at like from the previous section. But when you do lose, you get game over on the screen real quickly, but it's in kind of a real similar font to the Metal Gear Solid.
Oh, nice.
Game over. So I quite appreciated those because that's the thing I think that was so charming about this game, that there was loads of little nods to other bits and pieces that was going on that I was like, oh yeah, I can get behind. I can get behind this. Any other mini games within this game that you guys can think of that you enjoyed or hated?
Not so much mini games, but I did feel like they overdid it with a lot of the bosses would end with the boss chasing you and you'd have to be going down the corridor to get away from him. I felt towards the end of the game, I'd done that like 10 times within a couple of hours, like, yeah, you know, and like it was just like, oh god, how much do I have to run away from this? Like, eventually it was just corridor, and you're doing the same thing over
and I think
again.
There was like maybe like 3 or 4 bosses that you fought in that game that ended up being defeated because they chased you into a wall and got stuck in the wall. Like, yeah.
Like, they kept overusing that after a while, and I was like, come on, like, I just want to get out of here. Like,
There was a lot of first person stuff. As simple as it was, I enjoyed the little bits in the sushi restaurant when you had the VIP. So there was
those are the best parts.
The VIP person would come along and a new person would challenge you to a cook off with Bansho to be like, I'm going to be I'm a better, you know, chef than Bansho. And you get into those first person things where you had to, like, you know, scale the fish and you know, fry off the things, and it was like a first person, like, almost like a classic, like an old,
you're kind of like WarioWare, you're exactly doing the stuff in a few seconds.
But you couldn't lose that either. Like, you could, like,
well, you could
if you just did badly. Like, I don't think I ever lost against any of the VIPs while preparing their dishes, and I was like not going fast. I was like, a couple of times I made mistakes, and then it would just like let you away with it and be like, perfect. Like, that wasn't perfect.
Yeah.
Thank you for saying.
You have to complete it within the time. Like, the timer starts off in green and then like, eventually it'll go yellow and then red if you're not doing a good
job. So did you lose?
No, but like the first one, because one of the things I got bad because I just couldn't figure out what I was supposed to do. You know, okay, we only get a few seconds on the screen. But I failed that one. And then at the end, my score was like 50, but it was the first time I'd ever done that, so the other guy only got like a 52, so I still won. But in every other game after that, I always got like 90 to 100, like my score was really, really high.
Yeah,
but in the first game my score was not good, but still good enough to win, you know?
Oh, I wonder, was the game kind of hand-holding a little bit?
Maybe,
because I'm thinking all of mine I got like up in the 90s, but I was very close. Like, I mean, it was like I got 96 and the VIP chef got 94, and I was in my head, I was like, oh fuck, thank god I got so many perfects or else I might have lost. But now I'm kind of thinking, I don't know if they're going to make me lose or not in that situation. Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, but that was another cool little bit. One of the mini games, I think, or one of those things that they did, which I think they maybe might have done a little bit too much of, is that you got kind of first person moments in the game. So when you got like to break open one of the shipwrecks, you were given like
a flame, not a flame gun, a blowtorch kind of
exactly.
Underwater
blowtorch.
Like, blowtorch.
It's the foggy glasses that really
the foggy glasses.
And they would reset
wiping
every
your
10
lens.
Seconds.
Yeah. Those kind of things. I was like, why am I? I mean, I appreciate that you're trying to like have so many different kinds of games in this one game, but this is a step too far.
Who wipes a camera lens with
two fingers
as slowly as humanly? I know he's like lazy and like kind
underwater.
But not the underwater part. Like, Dave himself is not a fast guy, but like he can move his fingers faster than like.
Yeah.
It was so slow. Yeah. And what was mad, if you zoomed in when it wasn't fully cleared, when you zoom back out, it would all be foggy again, and like you'd have to start all over. So many times.
Yeah,
I was just so frustrated. I was like, surely this is enough. I'd zoom in, and the picture would still say like, "Yeah." You get that little like error, and then as soon as we zoom back out, the whole screen is foggy again. I was like, "Fuck you, game! I can't believe that."
So slow parts. Looking at crossovers or DLCs, I think, for the game, towards, I think once you get past chapter 5 of it, you can enter kind of 2 of the big DLCs. And I say big, but like, I mean, decent enough for DLCs. But they have DLCs with Godzilla and Dredge. Did either of you guys go through either of those?
I finished the Godzilla one and I did one mission on the Dredge one just at night, and then it just never came up again.
Mm.
Maybe I had to go out of my way to do it, but I just didn't bother.
I didn't come across any of them. I heard about Dredge off the lads and I was like, oh, that sounds kind of cool. The Godzilla thing is brand new information to me. But what's funny is there is a character that you make a hot pepper dish for. And this is without having known the DLC thing exists for Godzilla, but there's a moment where he goes, like, he eats the hot pepper dish and he's like a Sherpa maybe, and he's up on the coldest mountain ever, and he just like eats the hot pepper and then like looks up into the air and like his mouth just like a big like fire burst just blasts straight up. Yeah. And I was like, geez, that's very like Godzilla. And now you're after saying that, I'm like, fucking maybe it's a little nod or something, you know?
Actually, but before we get into those DLCs, because you're talking about like one of the really cool cutscenes, because that was like a little side quest. We had to cook this person like a hot, like the hot pepper tuna dish or whatever it was.
Yeah,
and for when you did those things for certain people, we always got these amazing little mini pixel art cutscenes that all had such a great sense of humor. One of the ones that I just did, and I don't know if you got to that stage yet. I think you might be just there, or you might have just done it, Colm. But there's one where you're trying to break down one of the doors for the hot area, to the geothermal area, and it's around the time where you lose the beluga, but you go into a place and you're in a dead end and you come across the guy, I can't remember his name, but with his big sea turtle. Do you know, like, you came across him before?
And you're in a trapped cave with him?
You're in a trapped cave with
him. Yeah, I did that, yeah.
And where, when you find, you like, you're just, as another mini game, you're slingshotting the sea turtle.
That's so okay. Ages for me.
It took so too long for me, yeah. I was, like, obviously bad at it because I was like, why can't I do this? But you slingshot the turtle because he's too tired. The turtle's too tired to ram, so you just have to slingshot it. But you have to take off the guy's, all his clothes to use as a slingshot. So he's there in the water freezing cold and you're using his clothes to slingshot the turtle, and the whole time I was doing this I was like, this is pretty funny, like I like the sense of humor that the game has.
But your man, anytime you get it, he's like giving you a little thumbs up while he's freezing.
Those animations are so brilliant. But when you break through that ice and you give him back his clothes, him and the turtle are getting sucked into the, like, because you break open the hole and obviously the water rushes out, so him and the turtle are getting pulled in, but it cuts to like one of the great pixel art cutscenes, and while he's getting pulled in, like his like top falls off over his shoulder, and while he's getting pulled in, he almost does this like photo shoot.
That's so good.
Where he's like undressing, photo shooting before he gets sucked into the cave, and I was like, this is fucking hilarious, like, you know. And like, it didn't need to do that at any point in time, but it has so many of those little cutscene moments I thought were just so funny, like, just really, like, because I was sitting with Lauren watching that scene in particular, and she was like, oh, she just likes in terms of, she likes how Dave the Diver looks, but I was telling her, oh, there's loads of like funny little cutscenes, and I didn't realize that I was coming up to one, but the two of us were like laughing our heads up, being like, yeah, that's wild, like that they
that
do
was a good one.
Yeah,
so good.
But the Bancho cutscenes, for anytime you enhance or create a new dish, he's got really great kind of anime almost cutscenes for, like,
oh, they're all totally anime based. Mm-hmm. One of them is one of the funniest things I have like seen in a long time. So funny that I like you said with Lauren, like I was like, Tori, check this out. Even my brother Alan, I was just like, just check out this, like, this is just like a little game I've been playing, little quirky things, but they just threw this little curveball in there out of nowhere, and it just made me so happy. And I don't know if you'll remember it, but basically it's Bancho is preparing the sushi and he's just standing there with a blade, and then like a gust of wind blows a cherry blossom leaf, and the cherry blossom falls through the air and like slices itself in half on Bancho, or Bancho,
yeah,
on Bancho's knife, and then like it just separates into two halves. But then it pans out and zooms in slowly on the fish tank, and there's just a fish watching, just looking shocked, just like absolutely terrified. And just that little extra detail at the end of it just made me burst my shit laugh and just be like, this is fucking brilliant.
Because I think before I had seen that cutscene in particular, because he has about four or five again, and I'd watch the ones, they were like really cool. Like there's the one where he like grabs like the power in his hand and he's like cutting things up real fat, and I'm like, oh, this is so good. And they're all like quite cool and serious, but I when I came across the one you're talking about, it was one of those things where I was like, oh man, because the fish's expression in that fish tank is so fucking funny.
Do yourself a favor, listener, and YouTube Bancho
Dave the Diver cutscenes.
Go through them. You'll enjoy it. Find it eventually.
Or just play the game. Yeah. So that was another thing in terms of for the charm for the game for me. I was like, all these things that they didn't need to do. Like the game would have functioned just fine without all of these, but it wouldn't have been nearly as charming without them taking the effort to create all those all those cutscenes. Sorry, Colin,
I was like, I absolutely agree with all of them, and I don't know if you just want to kind of go down this route at all, but I was just very conscious the whole way through, especially when they start introducing new elements like the farming side, the fish pond and all. I was like, they kind of could have taken a tiny, or maybe if there was a Dave the Diver 2, or you were saying they could like have individual games. I don't think they should do that. I think if anything, they should make a more community-based game and have all those people be interactive with, and like it's not just you're confined to the boat, the sushi restaurant or the fish farm. you can like actually maybe go around the little area and like, you know, have relationships with people and get to know them, and they'll teach you something interesting, you know, that kind of,
because it's got it, the game offers so much, but like all of it is just, it's just missing that one thing. So like the farming is like, oh, it's kind of like Farmville on Facebook. It's like, it's a farm simulator, but it could be so much more. Yeah. And the same with the sushi restaurant, it's like, it's a cooking sim, but it could be so much more, like, mm-hmm. you know.
Well, as a first try, it is very, very good, and there's so much room for the sequel that like, It's great to think about this now, but there's definitely a lot of possibilities, like, you know.
Yeah.
There could even be like loads of different oceans here, or he just takes the speedboat for an extra 10 minutes and just dives over there, you know. Like,
yeah.
You can change things up very, very simply, or very, very simply, and I think the sequel, and I'm sure it will have a sequel, will benefit greatly from it.
Like. Yeah. But if it has a sequel, they will need to make severe adjustments to the gameplay loop, because the gameplay loop, like, I kind of wanted to finish the game. Like, I was really trying to push it despite my burnout and boredom kind of with it.
Yeah.
Because
I felt the same. I had got my burnout, but I was like, the game deserves to be finished because of how charming it's been to this point. But there's the slog element towards the end, for sure. Yeah.
And like, if you were to say, oh, there's a Dave the Diver 2, I'd be like, oh, when that comes out, I might get that. But right now, I'm like, I couldn't play it again.
Yeah, I couldn't play it right
now. No. If it's not coming out for another 3 or 4 years, I'd be like, yeah, grand.
I can see myself replaying Dave the Diver in about 3 or 4 years and just really sitting down and enjoying it again. The same way I do with Stardew Valley even now. Just every few years, you get into that frame of mind, you know, and you're feeling a bit like, oh, maybe I would like some sushi. Maybe I'll just crack on with this game and watch how the pros handle it.
Yeah.
Slight topic change, but also just going based on that. But I also read recently that Eric Barone basically has come out and said, like, Stardew Valley is just one of those games that I think I might just work on for, like, the rest of my life. And I was like, I hope he fucking does that. Yeah. Like, that would be, like, just update every year and a half or every 2-3 years.
It's good news for all the Stardew Valley fans, for sure. But I think games like that have a real pull on people. Like those kind of indie... Now, here's a different kettle of fish, because he did most of that game by himself or whatever else. And I think the development team for Dave the Diver, if the credit roll is anything to go by, a decent team, do you know what I mean? But I think games like that have such a pull on people, where it's like that sit down and relax type thing. Because I'm playing Control, but Control's are really like confusing. I have no fucking idea what's going on in the game. Real thinker, like a real sit down and pay a lot of attention to what's going on. And I'm in the mood for that sometimes. But then other times I'm just like, no, I'd love to go down with my large net gun and just catch all the fish and put the row in the fish farm.
Do you ever use the net gun?
That's my primary weapon.
I only ever use the the what's the spear you have at the start?
The harpoon,
yeah.
So you never used any weapons?
Oh, was it a weapon? The
large net gun was a weapon, yeah.
Oh, no, because I'd always be hunting big fish, so the sniper rifle I would bring every single time. Mm-hmm. Never once did I pick anything else, just because it could kill, like, instantly, like, and from a
But
distance.
If you kill them, you get less stars quality and stuff.
Only with small fish.
Use the tranquilizer rifle. Like, just customize your starting rifle weapon with a tranquilizer on it. Once you trank a big fish, you could just hold triangle and send them back to your boat or whatever. So I was just like, grand, happy days. Yeah. And then if you ever got a harpoon with like a tranquilizer level 3,
that was
you
so
were
good.
Set. Yes. You were just like, I'm gold.
I never once tranked a fish.
Because that was one of the things I enjoyed about the game, whereby when you went down for a dive, you'd have your standard harpoon, but you couldn't customize that or upgrade it. The only way that could get better is by the harpoon or the harpoons that you found while you were swimming. So sometimes when I was opening like the gun boxes deep down, I'd be like, oh, I'd love for this to be a trank harpoon, because I've got some fish over there.
Harpoon, man, it shocked like everyone around. If you fired it into someone, it shocked everyone else. I was like, oh, this
so
is
that one was good. But the interesting thing about the harpoons is, depending on the type of harpoon that you're using, be it poison, flame, trank, electricity, there was a little mini game. The electric one was my least favorite, because whereas the I think the poison one just had like you rotate the left stick until you fill up the skull with poison, and I think one of my favorite ones was the flame one, although I didn't like the flame elements.
Flame and trank were the same then.
You just had to type
buttons.
You just type in the button combination. Yeah.
What was really annoying though is you'd almost fail always the first time, wouldn't you? Because the fish hasn't taken enough damage to actually catch
on
the first
time. The electricity one, I'd never passed that first time. Yeah. Other ones I did, but the electricity one I thought was the... And it looked cool, don't get me wrong. Like, as you said, when you hit a fish and it electrifies all the fish around it, and I'm like, that looks cool. but I hate what I have to do to actually catch
it
this.
It reached the point where as soon as I'd spear someone with that, I wouldn't even press the buttons because I was like, no, I know I'm not going to pass. And it would take a lot of energy from me to like press the button so many times that I just ignore it, hit them the second time, and then you get way more time on the second
the
time.
The tapping the X button is quite funny because Dave the Diver for me was a majority Portal game. Like I played it on the PlayStation Portal mostly. And because it's longer than a controller, when it came to those moments to mash X, I always had to like tilt the thing to mash X, like to get like the right give on it. So I was like, oh man, this would be so much easier on a controller. Just curious on time. So I want to hit up the DLC and then kind of final thoughts on the game. But the DLC, we had Godzilla and Dredge. I know you didn't really see the Dredge one much, Craig, but so I'll do a little bit on Dredge. Having played through Dredge and seen what they did with the Dredge DLC, I thought it was such a great collaboration between the two. So Colm, it's quite cool when you unlock the Dredge DLC on foggy days. You had to wait till there was a foggy day. It was the only time it worked. At nighttime, you could take, you know, you can do like a night swim and it cuts a couple hours out of your evening.
Mm-hmm.
You could actually, it would turn into almost Dredge the game. You would drive the boat, like it'd be top down and it looked almost identical to Dredge. And you drive the boat around the lake that you were in to certain areas to either dredge for treasure or dive into a special fishing spot that all the kind of like the mutated fish. So you'd just be in a, like a kind of normal size area, you just couldn't go dive down deep, but have all these horrible looking fish that you could catch. And when you caught them, you could serve them in your restaurant for all these horrible hooded figures. And in Dredge, there's these like hooded figures that are on islands all over the world map, and you had to feed them certain kinds of fish. So it was cool that they would come to your restaurant and only eat the horrible fish. So they'd be sitting there while the normal customers are coming in, but the horrible fish would like, you'd sell for a bomb. Do you know what I mean?
Oh,
it'd be so good. So they come in, and it only happened on foggy evenings. And then the rest of the stuff that you didn't sell in the restaurant, the lady who was from Dredge, the merchant from Dredge, would come in and just buy it all off you for good money. But I thought the Dredge one was really, really good. Godzilla one was interesting, but quite short.
Very, very short.
Yeah. I mean,
it essentially just collects the toys.
That's what it turns into at the end, I suppose, isn't it? Yeah.
But you had this one thing where it's like, oh, there's Godzilla. Oh, he's angry. And then he fights some fish or something.
You
like
fight
that.
The other, it's like a lobster monster.
Yeah,
you
lobster.
Fight the lobster
it
monster.
It looks terrible.
Yeah, and the fight's not a whole lot of fun. And then at the end, you get a cool little cut. You get a cool, in fairness, when the two of them come out of the water to attack each other at the lake, you get into like almost like a Street Fighter kind of thing. You get side by side and you're Godzilla and you have to punch the shit out of the other.
That was
thing.
The best part.
That was a lot of fun, you know? And then after that, the girl is like, oh, there's loads of Godzilla toys that I lost. There's 20 of them all over the ocean. Go collect them. And I've enjoyed that aspect because when I'm doing my other missions, I always come across one or two. Yeah. I'm like, oh, and it just gives you a little bit of information of when, you know, because some of the models are from like the Godzilla from the 60s and stuff like that. And it gives you a little blurb about them on the little app that you get. And I was like, oh, that's kind of cool. I'll enjoy that. But I thought the DLC was fun. I thought the collaborations were fun in the game as well. More power to them, I suppose. But final thoughts on it, guys. I mean, Craig, you had mentioned that you'd play it again in a couple of years' time.
Oh, for sure, yeah. I think it should be just a little bit shorter. I think there'll be a lot that they can do with a sequel. But, I mean, it's a good thing when the game has so much going for it and there's lots of room for improvement. But as a first outing, I think it was still a very, very good game for 90% of it.
Favorite and least favorite part of it?
Favorite part was actually just being in the restaurant and, like, serving drinks and stuff. I like the way, like, each thing got a little mini game out of it, just to like pour a pint or to make a martini. I just wish I could have done a few of them in the night. Like, I would love to have just been the one person in charge of the bar for like at least a few minutes, or just to actually try and manage it myself. But Dave is completely incompetent, like he just can't do it, like, you know. So that's my favorite part. And my least favorite was the farm. The fish farm is just very poorly put together, and
it's just kind of like a little bonus. Colm, I mean, I know you haven't finished it yet, but is it a game you plan on finishing?
I'd say I will finish it. I might not like go back with the same kind of oomph I wanted to get through it with as before the episode. Mm-hmm. I'd say I will finish it still, but I just, as I said, I kind of burnt out a little bit. And it's, in fairness, it's not the kind of game that you would ever just come back 2 years later and be like, fuck, I can't remember how to play the game.
You have to start again. Yeah.
Well, like, I would probably start again, but I don't think it's the kind of game where you couldn't continue from where you left off.
Yeah, I mean, you could, because it's
the mechanic is the exact same. It's just that you have, like,
I'd never be able to do that, though.
if it was years for me, I'd have to.
Within 5 minutes, I'd be like, oh, I'll just start again.
clean slate. And your favorite, least favorite thing about Dave the Diver?
favorite thing is the Bancho and his cutscenes. They really sold it for me and got me like impressed and into it. And then all the other people's like little cutscenes and stuff, they were enjoyable. I just felt that his were like the ones that for me were just like, fucking, this is sweet. This is like, I'm playing an anime, but I'm not the anime character. Like
the main character is somebody else. And I appreciate that.
I'm helping him run a restaurant.
He's so cool. He's suave. Fuck, like.
So that like that kind of art style and stuff I thought was brilliant. My least favorite stuff, similar to Craig, is kind of like, I didn't like how in the game they're kind of like no matter what fish you get, there's no real ingredients and stuff like it. And then much later in the game, toward the end of the game, they're like, oh, here, you can have like carrots, you can have some rice, you can do this
very
and that.
Late in the game,
it's like, for fuck's sake,
stuff.
Like, because I was only realizing everything I've been selling throughout the entire game is just the one ingredient, like just that fish.
Yes.
And I've maximized it because I caught that fish so many hundreds of times that I've been able to get it to level 10.
It's when you get to the latter game and you actually have dishes, like meals almost, that have lots of ingredients.
I'm like, the fact that they waited till the end of the game to let you make meals and stuff, because I get like where I am in the game, you said I've only got 2 hours to go, but I feel like that's only just opened up for me, and I'm like, that's a fucking waste when you think about it.
Absolutely.
So that's my least favorite thing then.
For myself, I love Dave the Diver. I think it is the most charming game I have ever played. I think I can't think of a more charming game than
Stardew Valley. Oh my gosh.
No, because I think I like Stardew Valley, don't get me wrong, but what I mean to say is in that Stardew Valley is, and the, all the characters in that have like, they have like dialogue and everything like that and lovely relationships and things going on, but there's something about those pixel art cutscenes.
You're right, Stardew Valley needs that.
Could you imagine?
implement some of that stuff for the cutscenes.
So I think...
Eric Barone.
And I think the only thing... I played, like I said, Astro Bot, which I loved, and Warhammer, which I didn't think I'd love, and I loved. If Final Fantasy Rebirth hadn't come out this year, Dave the Diver would probably be up there for a potential like surprise game of the year for me in terms of how much enjoyment I've gotten out of it. In a way that I, you know, it's not like the heavy RPG, I've got to customize my cloud to make him as powerful as possible to do these hard mode bosses, blah, 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 blah. It's like, no, I'm just going to go fish for some fish here and watch some funny cutscenes, and all my crew's all getting along. We're all good friends. Hot Pepper Tuna guy is making a farming rap song in the back, like all that kind of like the little bits that are going on in the background. I kind of thought, wow, this is so good. The thing that I'm least favorite about it, or thing that I like the least about it, is that it gives you a flavor for things that I think they're fun for what they are, but could have been done so much better. Like I said, there's a better farming sim that possibly that could be there in Dave the Diver. There's a better restaurant sim that could be in that. And I think playing that sometimes and realizing, being like, I just want so much more from this, that I was like, oh, it's a pity, like, I don't have, as you said, that the time you spend in the restaurant in the evening isn't twice as long as that. Do you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like half how much money you make from everything, but make that whole thing twice. I want to clean more tables. I want to make more beer, or, you know, pour more beers, all that kind of stuff. So I think there's moments where they almost got it perfectly and they didn't, and it frustrated me sometimes during it, but highly recommend it.
You've just reminded me of something I also don't like. Two little things I don't like. First one I just like to throw out, and it's just also, I want to see if you are also displeased with these things.
Yeah.
You come out of any kind of like nighttime fish, a regular fish, whatever, you come out of the water and it's like, you want to send one fish. What do you do? Like what that fish, it's like, do you want to send to your fish tank? Does that mean it goes to your fish farm?
No, that's for seahorses. So
that's
this
just seahorses.
So you can send your seahorses to an inventory to hold to later to bring down to the seahorse racing.
You can, but before the seahorses stuff comes into it, the game always asks you if you want to send one of your fish after you come out to a fish tank. And I just had been presuming that when you do that, because when you do, anytime you come out, you can't not send a fish. Because then Banco gives you like a thumbs up and you get a love heart.
You always get the screen on the right hand side that shows all the fish you caught.
Yeah,
and then you
get
press X.
Ingredients and fish.
But
and
all you're doing is just looking at what you've got.
Yeah,
but you have to press X on one of them.
No. So,
no, you don't.
So one side is ingredients and the other side is fish. So if you went in and you caught like soy sauce and cod and all that kind of stuff, or like not necessarily fish or like the sea urchins and stuff like that, they'd be on the side of ingredients and the other side is fish, and you send all of that to Bancho, and then all of the, if you've caught loads of fish, sometimes if you're lucky enough you'll get fish roe from it, which means that goes then to the farm to like birth those fish, and then they're just
Maybe
that
this
was
is
just
on
an
me
inventory. You were always just scrolling through. I was like, oh, man, I can only send one of these things.
Yeah, because it was like, it keeps asking me to send the fish, and I'm like, what the fuck is this, is even mechanic? I don't know what it's doing.
It's just showing you everything, and you just press X to say okay.
It did. You did have to choose your seahorses though. That was the thing. You had to choose.
I'm sure it's been making me choose every single time I come out of the water, but maybe I'll have to make a video or send it on to you. So I'm not fucking crazy. So yeah, I found that quite annoying.
Even though it's not real.
Even though it's not real.
What was your other thing?
I actually can't think of it right now. It's kind of slipped out of my mind. The other thing is you've all flustered me now that this might not be a real issue.
This is a dream of reality. I can't tell. Well, if you do think about it, Colm, you can let us know. We'll throw it up for the next episode.
And if any of the listeners can think of what I was going to say, message here at...
thegiftedgamingpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much. That was great.
My boy.
And if you're looking for loads of post-show content, we're probably going to do a post-show this evening, but we're short on time because the boys are coming over from Smash Brothers, so we're not going to have time. So the post-show this week might be, I don't know, I might do a review on the PS5 Pro because I've had it for a little while and I'm thoroughly enjoying it. I know this is arbitrary kind of sometimes to pick this out of the hat, but out of 10, Colm, Dave the Diver, out of 10?
7.
Craig?
I give it a high 7, yeah. But that's a lot for me, you know.
Yeah, that would be a lot. I'd be up there with an 8, I think. Yeah. Low 8. Low 8 to high 7. So I guess you can take from this, guys, that if you haven't played Dave the Diver, go out there, pick it up. It's rootin' tootin' good time. And for those of you who have played and were listening to it just to enjoy the conversation, thanks for stopping by.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
Colm, Craig, thank you so much. And to our listeners, as always and forever, keep enjoying the gift that is gaming. Peace out.
Peace out, guys.